हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्रीहद्वैतगदाधर
श्रीवस्तरिगौरभक्तवृन्द
हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
So Chaitanya Upanayanam, Natya Shastra, Chapter 21, Construction of a Dramatic Plot, page 15. Okay. Among these means, that which has others for its support, and to that which the rest are taken as subordinate, should be made prominent and not the remaining ones. What remaining ones? Means amongst these, he's making comment on the these different groups of elements. Right, because he's given your five elements of the plot, the five stages of action. And what's there's one more, five.
That will come later.
Okay, open this. Yes, yeah, so here's that some are the prominent and others are the... Yeah, so in other words, here, beginning will be there, but it establishes things. The effort is to get the goal. So the possibility of attainment, certainty of attainment, have to be subservient to the whole gaining the goal. Does that make sense? Like that. Or if you have the action, you know, so all these other things are there to show you can say from there is what's the main point to be gained, and the other things can't eclipse it. Yeah. So the seed is what's there, then the action is how it's being expressed. And then you're going to have in action, then you're going to have it attains a result. Right? But that result is then what the seed is already establishing. So in other words, the seed is the main thing. Right? So you have to see that that's always there. And then in the action, it's gaining its result. You know, because otherwise, if we perform action ourselves, but do not... don't bring it to the point of pleasing Krishna, then it doesn't have any meaning. Therefore, you know, it's a waste of time.
Yes.
Right? So action must get result.
Yes.
You know? But that result has already been established in the seed. You know, you can't have something else.
Yes.
So, Udriti, Srila Rupa Goswami. The cause of work, which was started as a small but later expanded in a manifold, is known as bijam by the experts. Right? Just as in Lalita Madhava, in the first and second acts that are designated to be mukha-sandhi, the hidden attachment between Sri Radha and Madhava is called bijam. The main stream of the story is broken because of another incident related by the topic, but it ultimately becomes an instrument to complete the main theme is called bindu. Right? It means those things that connect together, even though they don't seem to have a particular connection.
Yes.
But it's what brings everything through. So basically bindu is the incident, I mean the, what do you call it? The instruments that hold the whole thing together. As stated in Lalita Madhava in Pratimukha Sandhi of third and fourth chapters, where the main theme, Lord Krishna's departure towards the city, is broken and again comforted himself by saying, Etas Turnam, Lalita Madhava 321, quickly lead all these women. Lord Krishna, being hopeful by the statement of sun god, says, Nire Mang Kusham, Lalita Madhava 4:10. Such interlude during the act is called bindu. Right. So the interlude is something that assists in pushing forward the bijam, you know, the main point, you know, what the work is all about. Right. Means there's going to be an effort, right? Because we saw here, action is going to be there, right? And then when we get into applying it, then it's going to show about this aspect of effort, right? Right here, you know, you're going to have progression, development, pause, conclusion, right? So, and then here, beginning effort, but that's going to, you know, based on action. So action means you're going to go through all these different stages, right? So that means what is attaining a particular object, which is what the seed establishes, right? So the bindu is what connects all these things together. Mm-hmm. You know, but that something's happening, and so it comes up. It seems like something's going on, and then something else comes up. So you have a plan, but then it still works for that. So it's what connects the whole thing together. Okay. If a topical story goes along with the main story for some length and becomes helpful to achieve the desired goal, that is by the intellects called pataka. Pataka. Where is
third one?
Huh?
Third one, Maharaj.
Episode. Third one where?
Episode.
Ah, okay. Yes, episode. Pataka. The characteristic of Purnamasi and Uddhava by that order in Garbha Santi, or fifth and sixth chapters of Lalita Madhava, is called Pataka. Prakari is a topical story that goes along for a limited length and fulfills the desires of others, just as in the case of Nava Vrindavan. The character of Navavrinda and Bakula, as mentioned here by that order in Vimarsha Sandhi of 7th and 8th chapters, called Prakari. Prakari was the episodal incident. The goal of the whole project is called Karya. Just as the meeting of Sri Radha and Krishna together is the chief goal in the book named Lalita Madhava. As revealed here in Nir Vahana Sandhi of this book, the reunion and further pastimes of Radha Madhava in that order of 9th and 10th acts of Lalita Madhava is known as Karyam. Right? So you're going to have those things that the goal being that they perform the activities together, right? So you're saying is that you're trying to bring everything together. What was his point here? The attachment of Radha and Krishna, that's going to be the bija.
Yes.
That's going to be. Then there's going to be action where they are together,
yes,
and that happiness that they gain from that. So that's what you're trying to do. So we see is that goal and the action are the same point.
Yes.
You know, it's just further development of the same point, because effort is there to attain a result.
Yes.
So if you don't attain the result, what's the point of the effort?
Mm-hmm.
But why is that coming together? Because of the bija.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's the seed. So I think what before we were saying was the bindu, that's actually the beach that holds it together. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah, because otherwise we were discussing before about how the overall arc of the thing, how it's going to unfold. But why is it unfolding? It's because of the beach. That's what holds the whole thing together.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Radha and Krishna want to be together, you know, to be with each other. That's what keeps the whole plot working, right? And then you're going to have all these episodes and episodical incidents that, you know, come along with that main theme, you know, to bring it to its fruition.
Yes.
Like that.
I think in the most of the plays, it's not clear with, I'm saying the modern plays, it's not clear what is the bindu and what is the bijam. That's where, like, they may be good directors, but they mix up with these two, and because of which the rasa is not very clearly expressed.
Yeah.
That how?
Yeah, because it's not clear. There's some idea, so they're going to work more on just what the action is. Yes. You know, these things, the beginning here, or the opening, progression, development, pause, conclusion. They might, you know, use those, but these aspects of just beginning the effort and then, you know, the attainment of the object, like that. And so those would be there. Now there's some idea in their mind, but whether it's come to fruition, that where they can express it, because we know is that when you have, when you're talking about sound, then that feeling of what you want to say, that's the nod. And then until it comes up through, until you can vocalize it, then you may not fully understand what it is. You know, like you say, I have a feeling, but you can't really identify what's the verb, what's the nouns, what's the relation, what it does, what it accomplishes. Just a feeling. So those who are, this is more clear, then that can be expressed. So then that seed and will drop there, and then they can see that. Therefore, all these different things that go together, so that they can attain that, because everything has to support attaining that. You know, or be connected with that, even if there's something that gets in the way, an obstacle, but it has to be getting in the way of what you're trying to obtain. Yes. Yes. It can't just be some random obstacle. Yes. Yes. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Here, interestingly, in Lalita Madhava, Rupa Goswami gives two acts for each of the five. First and second is the bija, as is explained.
Okay. Two are for the bindu, three are for two. Okay, two for that. Oh, okay. And so does that mean also that two are the beginning, two are the... Yeah, we'll see as he explains. The plot has two divisions. Major, pradhanam, and minor, angam. If the actor is active until the end of the plot, he is known as pradhana. The pastimes of Lord Krishna in the Lalita Madhava are the example of pradhana. The activities of other actors by which the actor accomplishes the result of the plot should be called angam. Pataka and prakari certainly remain always as angam, but sometimes bija and so on can also be angam. Bijam should be in the beginning, since it is a seed, and karyam being the fruit at the end, to the end. And since bija acts as the cause of junction, it should be repeatedly placed within the middle portion. Similarly, prakari and pataka should also be also placed accordingly based on circumstances. Right? So you're going to have the seed is what is there, and then the karyam, or the, you know, the result. That action that gives the result. That's going to be at the beginning and end.
Yes.
But the bija should also be coming in the middle so that you remember why it's going on.
It's
yes.
Bindu, Maharaj.
You said bindu?
Bindu. Huh?
Bija.
And since bindu acts as the cause of junction, it should be repeated.
Oh, bindu acts as the cause of junction. It should be repeated, placed in the middle. The bijam is in the beginning, and the karyam is the end, and the bindu then is what holds it together, right? Because we're saying here, then the bindu. Then is, okay, it's an instrument to the main theme.
Yes.
Right, so the mainstream are growing, there may be some other incidences, but then they are, you know, giving that essential point, they're bringing it out. You know, there's some pastime that may be going on, but it's broken by some other pastime, but that pastime is then bringing in things that, why, how that goes together. Like you said, Purnamasi and all that, then they're doing that kind of aspect. No, or they were the... No, they were specifically the...
Yeah, Purnamasi and Uddhava.
Yeah. But then they were also involved in the Pataka.
Mm-hmm.
No, that was another. That was the others. Yeah, so there's just like Uddhava is always then about bringing the... Purnamasi is always about bringing them together.
Mm-hmm.
So you might have some pastime with Purnamasi and the gopis in that, and you don't have Radha and Krishna.
Yes.
But it's about how to bring that together.
Yes. Yes.
Right. So in other words, there has to be action. It means if you want a particular final action, there has to be preliminary actions. Right. Mm-hmm. So there's the main action, right? You know, the pradhana, and then there's going to be the angam actions. Those angam actions should result in the pradhanam action. It means that secondary actions should result in the primary action being accomplished.
And can we say that the secondary actions are made by a devotee who are assisting Radha and Krishna?
Yes, okay. And anybody. It means that just they're not the main actor. So in here, pradhanam is going to be Krishna.
Yes.
Right? So that means all the other actors, they're all going to be Anga. They're all going to be supporting Krishna being together with Radharani. Yes. So, therefore, Bindu is as illustrated in 5th chapter of Lalita Madhava. All glories to Lord Sri Krishna's chest, which glows like the lake of jewels, has charming hue like dark blue, that of fresh tamal tree, and is smeared with fresh kumkuma. Praised always by the stars and excited by lightning, that Lakshmi-bearing chest is shining with amusement, just like the fresh thunder clouds. Right? So that will bring together, because that's going to be what's going to bring Radha and Krishna's desire to meet each other, that's what's going to bring them together.
Yes.
Right? Karya has fivefold limbs, since the hero is subjected to the influence of act. So Karya is the fivefold limbs, yeah. It's much better explained this way, no? Arambha, beginning, yatna, effort, pratyasha, confidence, niyatapti, certain expectation of attaining an object by overcoming a particular obstacle, and phalagama, excess of result, access of result. The wise have said that continuous endeavor for the main fruit is called arambha. Strenuous, is that different from strenuous?
It's a typo.
It's a typo, yeah, because otherwise sometimes you have these very specific theatrical terms or something, and just want to make sure it's... No? Did you figure out what it was?
Yeah, it's the same. They use the strenuous and strenuous the same.
Really, they're both proper words. Really? That is so far out. Maybe strenuous means it's the strand of strenuous effort. The strenuous effort of Sri Radha Madhava for their union is described in Mukha Sandhi of Lilita Madhava. It's called arambha. Right? They're always trying for that. Yatna is to be enthusiastic in achieving that particular result. As mentioned in Pratimukha Sandhi of Lalita Madhava, in which searching of Krishna by Sri Radha and Krishna's endeavor for seeing Radha in the dance and other functions performed by the Gandharvas is known as yatna, effort. Right? So you know that there's that constant effort between them. Then you show specifics. Right? Praptyasa, that is the possibility, is an assumption for the completion of one's own goal. When a slight achievement of fruit is being presumed, even mentally, according to the knowers of the principles of Natyashastra, that is known as pratyasa, as described here in Garbha Sandhi of Lalita Madhava, in which, by Sri Radha's offering to Satyajit, and by Krishna's achievement of Lalita, Shankachuda, and Jewel, being impossible to cause is pratyasana. You have some, you could shed some light on this one. That's the problem, you can't tell by grammar what's going on.
Actually, whole Lalita Madhava is how from Vrindavan all the gopis are the ones who became all these eight principal queens.
Mm.
So I think in reference to that, there.
No, but here about being impossible.
No idea. There are many. I corrected a few, but this sentence I just overlooked.
Okay. So there's some achievement. So Radha's done some achievement by offering the Satyajit. Krishna has some achievement here. Unless it's the cause, the cause. Yeah. The certainty of complexion of proposed work without difficulty is niyat-tapti. That's the certainty of attainment. By seeing Radha having certainty of completion of work without disturbance, as mentioned there in Vimarsha Sandhi of Lalita Madhava, is known as niyat-tapti. Attaining one's well-desired fruit is called phala-gama. Lord Krishna's meeting with gopis of Raja, gaining Radha's association, obtaining of jewel, and his coronation as described in Nirvahana Sandhi of Lalita Madhava is called Phala Gama, Natika Chandrika 32-43. So then he's explained that you're going to have your beginning, because these five are all subsections of the action. Yes. Right, so in that there's going to be the continuity of what they're always trying to do. That's going to be the beginning.
Yes.
Because you know that they're always trying to attain this.
Yes.
That's what it's establishing. Then there's going to be specific efforts.
Yes.
Like that. Then there's going to be the possibility of attainment when something, you know, is some few things are gained like that. So there's some confidence.
Yes.
But it can still have obstacles.
Yes.
Like that. But when the obstacles don't seem to be happening anymore, then the certainty of attainment, the niyata prapti. Mm. And then, you know, you can see the goal right there and you could attain it right there. Mm. Then there's going to be attainment.
Yes.
So, you know, so even yeah. Yes.
And I think like that a personality like Rupa Goswami can show, for example, five examples, means one example of each.
Yes, means the whole drama is written on this structure. But the thing is if we read the drama, we'll just see this very nice drama.
Yes.
It won't have any dryness or form. It'll just, because that's the whole point, is that all these things are elements that are there. So there must be something that's consistent. Then there's going to be the endeavors for it. Then there's going to be the ones where you try, maybe it doesn't work, the other things that work like this. Then there's going to be, now you can see the attainment. Then you attain. Because there's a mood of before. Just like, you know, then there's the Purva Rag, as explained.
Yes.
Is that attraction to Krishna before meeting Krishna. Mm-hmm. It's its own flavor.
Mm-hmm.
So it's mentioned. Otherwise, you can just say it's just before. So that you know, the possibility, the certainty, these kind of things. That's going to be. They have a particular flavor.
Yes.
So they're included. We may not identify them separately like that. We'll just say you make your endeavor, you get your results.
Yes.
But the point is you have to bring in the aspect of. But what are you endeavoring for? Why are you endeavoring for that? This is something because you've always wanted.
Yes. Yes.
You know. So that's the point, is that the bija is going to be established.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that's what's the constant endeavor, is the bija.
Mm-hmm.
The seed. Makes Radha and Krishna want to be together. So that's the seed. So that you're going to be seeing that they're always endeavoring for that.
Yes.
Then you're going to see more specific, instances of that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, you know. But in that, then there's going to be that's going to be, you can see the seed, and then it's going to be, the action means the attainment. That's why he said before, the action, the karya, is the final, because that is what gets the attainment. But the action has those things to go, you know? And so then, in that, those things that move the seed forward, you know, towards the attainment, mm-hmm. then that's going to be your vital, your bindu, mm-hmm. you know. Instead of vital drop, maybe the essence. Just put the essence. Okay. Mm-hmm. Or vital essence, mm-hmm. like that, you know, something. But drop doesn't. Bindu means a drop, but so it's too literal that you don't know what they're talking about.
In Bengali, Babu.
Hmm?
In Bengali, gentle.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just people that do that. They know Sanskrit. They might have an interest in these things. Or, basically speaking, if someone is able to do Sanskrit grammar, add to the point and vocabulary to the point where they can come comfortable with translating, they have to be very careful that they don't fall into the illusion that because they can deal with Sanskrit, therefore they know the subject matter. That would be saying because I know English, I know every topic. You know, and just by my knowledge of English, I can understand, you know, nuclear physics, I can understand neural brain surgery and all that. So I just have to read the text and I am already excellent. But the problem comes down is that they don't. So in general things, they'll do fairly well. If it's areas where they, you know, they can relate to, it'll come out nice. But if it's areas that they don't know about or can't relate to, or especially if they're not devotees, then they don't understand. Then you always have these little bit of parts that are not quite as, what do you say, clear as they should be, because it's totally not clear for them. So because they just do the literal things, and then they just literally translate, and then they try to make it mean something to them rather than they know what it means. So that's the uniqueness. That's why one always follows the acharyas. Because just because someone can translate, you know, who cares? Like that. You know, like that. In the 1800s, you know, all the German scholars, they could do that. You know? I mean, in fact, the dictionary they used is from that time by Max Müller. You know?
Actually, in regards to drama, in the preface, the guy who translated, he mentioned the whole thing. That in the 1800s, that's when he mentioned some scholar name who is a very great dramatist.
Okay.
He saw the importance of Natya Shastra, and then he used it and he translated and made his own, and which became very famous and still used in the modern academy even now.
Okay.
And because of that, Indians, they also started referring to that, and nobody took interest in having a systematic translation of Natya Shastra on its own.
Mm.
And then he decided to put that work together, though he is not such a great author.
Yeah, it means you can see the need for it. He's enthusiastic, yes. But it's not necessarily that he's a dramatist as such.
Yes.
And so there'll always be a few points of weakness. Much of it will be more obvious, but that's why then we see Rupa Goswami gives a much clearer definitions and all that.
Even when we check, like nobody does completely stick onto this. They always refer to all around the world and come back here.
Yeah, yeah.
So there are not enough works to focus directly on it.
Because there's always the thing is what's going on. No, that's more interesting. But the point is that that's why it says the Veda is the first, then it will be the Smriti will be the second, then what the Acharyas give will be the third.
Yeah.
You know, and great personalities.
Yeah.
So here, and then you apply it to your situation. So here, then you have someone who is referred to, but others are only referring to, you know, personalities and know the subject.
Yeah.
But it's not going back to people like Rupa Goswami or others.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because Rupa Goswami is there. He could have used that. But he'll take it and make his own because they always feel that they need a better presentation. It should always be based on the structure of the scriptures. Okay. Continuation of the episode. Continuation in the episode. Okay, so then the episode is there.
There are some rules in between those episodes and episodical instead.
How the episode works. Okay, in one or more segment should be attached to the episode. As these serve the purpose of the principal plot, they are called continuation, anubandha. The episode should come to an end either in the development or at the pause.
These are the development or the pause.
Okay, these are the next points to be. Yeah. Episodical indication. When some matter being taken in hand, another matter of similar characteristics is suggested through an accidental idea. Agantu kabhava. It is called episode indication. Pataka stana. Okay, pataka stana, but it's not called, those aren't called flags. Flags was, oh, here is the episode. Okay. So the incidence of Pakardi is the stan. Okay. The sudden development of a novel meaning, artha sampatti, due to an indirect suggestion, is called the first episode indication. Words completely carrying double meaning and expressed in a poetic language are called the second episode indication. That which suggests with courtesy the object of a play in a subtle manner, in the form of a dialogue, is called the third episode indication. Words with a double meaning expressed in a well-knitted poetic language and having a reference to something other than what appears at first sight is called the fourth episode indication. So in other words, they're always indicating what you want to establish, what wants to be done, like bringing Radha and Krishna together and this and that. So those are the episodes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Udriti, Srila Rupa Goswami. In relation to the main point, main object, if there is warning about an unexpected incident, that is called patakastana. It is of two kinds, the first being tulya samvidhana, and the second is tulya visheshana. Now the first one, tulya samvidhana, is again of three kinds. And the second is having only one. In this way, patakastana is known to be having fourfold by the learned. If there is a sudden gain of a desired goal in a favorable way, it is called the first kind of patakastana, as indicated in the seventh act of Lalita Madhava, Radhika. She walks up the altar and says in a choked up voice, "O moon-faced one, my dear friend has again come to me. My desire to see him scorched my body and wounded my heart with a monsoon of pain. My life breath yearns to meet Krishna in Vrindavan, enjoy pastimes with him in a cottage by the Yamuna's shore." End quote. Here Radha, looking at the reflection, thinks, "This is the wealth of my life." Thus, just by the external show indicating that Krishna is coming, is patakastanam in the form of sudden gain of desired goal. Then, the second one, based on a sentiment and the subject matter of poetry, the speech used here is having ambiguous meaning. It is understood to be slishta, the second kind of patakastanam, Krishna. Krishna, Radha's company brings me a festival of happiness. It is like a playful waxing moon that appears before my eyes and awakens my desire for amorous pastimes. From behind the scene, O lotus-eyed Krishna, it is very hard to do when you are so far away. Krishna, anxiously, in a loud voice, "Hello, what is that hard to do?" Again from behind the scene, even though cowherd boys searched with great effort, the herd of cows are not to be found. But because you can see is that there's, it's, you know, has those hidden meanings. Here, it's good, I think, if you put where they're speaking in quotes, okay. Quotation. And also from behind the scene, those ones, put those in square brackets. Any direction, you know, of scene or place, put it in square brackets. And these other ones, like, you know, lotus eyed Krishna, like that, that you're just showing what it means, you know, or some addition. Does that make sense?
Yes.
That'll be the practice.
Maharaj, this is the second episode, indication.
This is the second indication.
Second indication.
Means because you have the episode and you have the episodical, indication or whatever. So this is the second time. So the ones that establish that something can happen, because they're establishing that it can happen, because the whole point is the action.
Yes.
So you're establishing it can happen. But the same time is that there may be, you know, as you pointed out, you know, suggest, you know, that it's there. It's called, you know, the indirect double meaning in poetic language.
Yes. Yes.
With a courtesy of the object of the play, you know, yes, form of the dialogue. Okay. Again, okay. Here, since it ambiguously indicates that in the future meeting with Radha will not be easily possible for Krishna, yes, it is the second patakasthana known as slishta. Right, it's showing that there's a possibility, but not so easy, because that's what he's saying, is they can't find where the gopis are.
Yes.
The coward boys, you know, it means if you're saying the coward boys have searched great effort, the herd of cows are not to be found. But the conversation is about Krishna meeting the gopis.
Yes.
But for others, if they hear that, they'll think it's just the boys can't find the cows.
Yes.
You know? And so the point is he's saying it'll be difficult because they can't find them. The third one, when a desired object is being manifested through an unclear but playful conversation, it is understood to be the third category of patakasthanaka. As mentioned in the seventh act, Lord Krishna looking around. Dear friend, looking around. Let's see, those ones should be in square, right? Dear friend, how far is Vrindatavi, the forest of Vrindavan? Madhu Mangal, what does that mean, speaks in Sanskrit? Having said thus only half.
He was about to say something in Sanskrit and he didn't complete his sentence at all.
But we don't even have what part he...
Those probably were speaking.
We have to go to the original text to find out. That's how
translated. That should be Krishna with confusion and eagerness. Oh dear, where is she? Madhu Mangal pointing with his finger. Your beloved is manifesting right in front of you. Krishna with eagerness. Oh friend, I don't see her. Please show me. Where is my Radhika? Madhu Mangal. Oh Mukunda, that is Vrindavan. Here, Radharani's future appearance is being indicated by the expert sentences of Madhu Mangal. Therefore, it is third category of patakasthanam, named Shlishtotaram. Then, Darshana, if the double purpose words are appropriate for the dramatical presentation and indicate some other purpose than the main one, then it's to be considered the fourth patakasthanika, known as Darshana. As mentioned in the fifth act, where Suparna says, O Krishna, the subduer of Mura demon, having the face of unadulterated fame, just like the rays of the clear moon, and being glorified by the great sages traveling in the sky, this lotus-eyed goddess of victory has abandoned the kingdom of Chedi and is very eagerly approaching you. Here, with these double purposed words, Surparna indicating the achievement of Chandravali. It is known as Tulya Visheshana, as mentioned in text 187, Natikachandra 186 to 192. The play meant to be acted should have at most four episode indications. So here. Pataka Stanaka. I shall now speak of this made up of five segments of a play. Okay, so that was the... So the five segments. Okay, that's going to be what we have on page 13. The opening, the progression, the development, the pause, and the conclusion. Now you can see is that all these five all are connected together. Right? Means they basically you can kind of lay them on top of each other. Right? But they're doing different things. Right? Means the opening means how you're going to open the thing and explain everything. But at the same time, as it has to be showing the beginning work, what's there, and based on the seed. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, it seems that by language, you know, many indication can be given. And here we see that all this pastime between Radha and Krishna, they can speak in front of other person, but only a few can understand it.
Yeah, that's more fun, no?
Yes. But it's very...
That means you have to be very good in language, yes. Vocabulary, presentation, all these things. That's that's the whole...
Yes.
I mean, it's just... Yes, that's the whole thing, is that if in a situation where everybody doesn't know what's going on, that's the point. The conjugal rasa, it's about not knowing what's going on.
Yes.
You see, the servitorship... I mean, the other four... It's all about knowing what's going on.
Yes.
You know, so there's nothing hidden. It means Mother Jashoda talks about what she does with Krishna. The cowboys talk about that. The servants talk about that. The Shantaras talks about that. They can talk openly about their interactions.
Yes.
And no one's going to be grumpy about it.
Yes.
Right? You know, but the conjugal, then you have to be more careful about that. Even if it's swakya, it's not something you discuss.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's the point, is that it must have... The conjugal rasa always is going to be spoken about indirectly, you know, like that. Unless it has the opportunity where it can manifest itself nicely, you know, those situations. But the point is especially the part, it means the swakya, it's only when they're at home.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But then sometimes they have guests and this mm-hmm. and that. Like when Narad Muni went, he saw that, you know, the different formal things would be going on, and Vasudeva is there, Uddhava is there, others are there, King Ugrasena, or, you know. And so, then generally these things would have to be dealt with very subtly.
Yes.
So even if people refer to that, you know, they're all grihastas, but even if they refer in a subtle way.
Yes.
Does that make sense? So here for the gopis, it's parakya, it has to be even more not understood. So that's part of the taste. That's how it works. Is that? So you have to have that. It's part of the dynamic up there. So that's why it also mentions that, Vatsyayana mentions that girls have problems with boys who can't understand subtleties. Because otherwise, you know, boys, you speak directly, that's not how it works. You know? They like to speak in these indirect and all that. That's why it's said the path is not straight, it's crooked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so she's thinking one thing, she's saying another. He's, because of what she's saying, he's thinking something else other than what he thought it would be. And so then, therefore, he's, you know, it's all over the place. Yes?
So the natural question will be, how boys educated in the man's society, means in Gurukul, will get the subtleties because they're outside of the, you know, women's environment. How is that going to happen?
Aha! This is a very standard question by...
Yes.
See, the basically we can say like this. Those that understand how the feminine nature work and how those things work, on one level, would never ask that question. Right? I mean, in other words, those who know don't need to ask the question. Those who don't know, they're the ones who'd ask. So the difficulty comes up is that they're thinking that it's just that they're with a woman that therefore they know what's going on, like that. But it's the basic principles on which it is, you know, as we mentioned in the Brahmacharya and these kind of things, is that that's the basis, that you have respect, like that. If there's no respect, there's no grihastha life, like that. Women can't respect someone who doesn't have respect. Because they, you know, they have to respect themselves as an individual. They have to respect the wife as an individual. Then everybody connected. They have to, you know, there must be a structure to society. If the religious environment's not there, then the feminine mentality can't function. So without understanding Dharma, without being able to practice Dharma, you actually can't function in the society of women. So being around women doesn't mean you know them. You know, it's just like, let us say you have somebody who is walking to work every day, right? You know, down the main street, and there's tons of traffic, right? So by them walking down the street and all that, they're around the cars, you know, hundreds of cars every day, day in, day out. Do they know how to drive? Do they know what a car is? Do they? No. So unless you're taught, then you won't know, right? And even if you just go, and just no one showed you anything, they just gave you the keys, and you had a huge, you know, you're out on Bonneville or something, you know, you could go out, start the car, try different things, and then eventually you might be able to get to make a thing move and stuff like that. But it's going to take you a long time, right? And in the meantime, you could damage something. So there's always going to be the training, right? So just the idea that someone is married, so automatically they know, that's not a very strong platform to work from, which is the basis of this question, right? And so then without respect, it won't work. You know, without having knowledge, it won't work. Without having a service attitude, meaning be willing to work, have that enthusiasm to make endeavor, it won't, the marriage can't function. Without actually making endeavor and gaining results, it won't work. If you can't control your senses, you can't make the relationship work. And if you don't know who you are, how to dress, what's the occasion, how to behave, and all that, that also, it won't work. So without these six, you don't have a properly functioning grihastha life. That's learned as brahmacharya. Right? So therefore, someone who hasn't had that training might ask that question. Someone who's gone through the training wouldn't ask that question. That's the first thing. Second thing is that because you have that there, do they not hear all the stories from the Puranas and everything like that? So then these things are explained. What's the relationship? What's the things from that? Because you don't need the drive for sense gratification to understand the feminine nature. In fact, when you don't have that, it's actually easier to understand. Does that make sense? So it's just like this. Were the girls more comfortable with Sukadeva Goswami or with Vyasadeva? Sukadeva. Because he knows the position, but there's no trying to you know, how you say, appreciate that situation. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's the difficulty. It's sometimes very different from. So there's always the thing, no, unless they're around, unless the boys and girls associate from a young age, you won't know. But if that's the case, then, you know, then America would be like, there would never be any divorce. It would be like the perfect, everyone from all over the world would be going to America because they have perfect marriages. That always works out. Everything's so perfect because the boys and girls hang out from such a young age and it's all, yeah. But it's possibly one of the worst. So therefore we can toss that philosophy right out the window. So in other words, people have agendas themselves. That's why they'll say that. And generally there'll be a pride that they know women. Otherwise, if they knew women, they wouldn't say that either. if you know what Gurukul is. You can be instanced that, okay, this particular Gurukul, they don't also understand, and so they're not bringing out the things as nicely. They could do better. But then you have to know what you're talking about. But here it's just the generic thing of Gurukul. It's just like Gurukul is the basis of everything. You learn everything there. But the point is they learn it because they're attached. In other words, they're just you know, very enthusiastic young men that hang out with other young men and all that and talk about girls. And somehow or another, if they can somehow or another catch a girl or get some attention, they think now they know everything. But look at themselves. Did they ever do anything before? No, they just sat around and talked about them. Right? So they feel that's their qualification. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
so it becomes a difficulty is that you have, by appreciating the principles, then you know. Because here we're going through these things, then you can understand what's there. It's a science, it's explained. So that subtlety and how they speak like that and all that. So many times those who do work it out, like you see couples that have been together for some time and all that, and they're able to work it out and they're intelligent, then you'll see they can appreciate these points. But a lot of times you see newlyweds and that, they don't understand this at all. The girl might, but the boys, no idea.
Also, we observe traditionally, any event is happening, the rasa aspect of that the woman is always doing. Like, for example, in a marriage, like when we are children up till 8 or 9, we always used to be the inside scene along with woman, and they are arranging the whole thing. Right. But as soon as you cross like 10, then the elders call, hey, why are you going inside? Sit out.
Yeah.
There is no need to go inside. Yeah. And then anything is required, then you have to go and run and get it.
Right.
But otherwise, if you are inside, then you disturb the whole scene, how it is supposed to be done.
Yeah,
basically, the feminine aspect knows how to do the things, and masculine needs to only provide.
Only, yes.
Then only the rasa moves.
Moves nicely.
Now what happens is, both are together, then basically masculine disturbs feminine. And
yeah, no, they disturb each other. So neither can grow, neither can develop. Because the feminine will grow in the company of the feminine under the protection of the masculine. And the masculine will develop by being under the protection of the masculine, then being trained in that, it'll go, you know, so it's a nice science, you know. Yeah, because you have to know what the seed is, what you take care of, like this. You run around and get. Why? Because that's what the men do. Men provide the facilities, but women operate it. And so then you see that. So that's another thing, is that, but everybody's been in the house for the first, you know, 5 years of their life. And so they would see all that there. It's not that it's changed, you know. And they can say, oh, but they're not aware. It's just like you know, how many husbands are aware? You know, the wife's upset. They have no idea why. You know, but like, you know, you ask a small kid, you know, why is your mom upset? He'll say. You know, but the husband has no idea. Like that. So it's there inherent. It's just a matter of cultivating it and being able to broaden it. That's the thing also, the point of the girls, the chastity and all that. It's a mentality. Right? In the West, it's just stay away from the boys. But it's a mentality. So that's the whole thing. The Vedic is you developing the mentalities. Then when you go to specifically apply it, then it works. Does that make sense? Yeah, so if good character is there, good qualities are there, devotional aspects are there, then like that, then you have something to base on. And if the boy and girl are of equal nature, then it works very nicely. So yes, you can't, you will learn there. But at the same time, as if those in the school understand this, then you'll get that very nicely. If they don't understand, then they'll just be the same as everybody else. Yes. No, in other words, the tough, you know, chews on, you know, nails for breakfast brahmachari, when he can't keep it together and he gets married, then he'll have the idea that, you know, what's the use of brahmachari? It's all just a sham, so everybody should just get married. He's the one that's going to ask that question. Does that make sense? That's my experience. You know, if someone else asks, then it may be more of a gentle, well, how does this come out? How do those kind of things like that? So the point is just being aware when you hear the stories, when it's being explained. You know, there's always going to be incidents when you're dealing with you know, ladies that are around or with the parents. You know, it's like it's time for the kids to go home and the parents are there, but then the kid doesn't deal right with the mother, so the teacher will say something. You know, just like that. It's just slowly, slowly. It's drop by drop, you know, over years that you catch this stuff. Does that work? Or?
Yes, it's just, I've heard several times that those who graduated from Gurukul, among themselves, I just overheard their conversation,
right.
Is that they admitted that in general, they were given those principles, as you explained.
Right.
But when they graduated, they just couldn't understand, some still can't understand, how to deal with women and with the money. Because that knowledge somehow wasn't assimilated or wasn't explained properly, or it's just between the boys. So I was like wondering, really, how is that possible? But it seems to be, it's not an easy topic. I mean, in practical life, the theory, okay, but when you come out and you don't really know.
I mean, because you're also, manana means you apply. You hear, then you apply. And then from applying, you understand. And then from that, then you realize. So you have to take that practical and take it back to what you've heard. Like, how have they dealt with money? Whose money is it? As a brahmachari, whose money is it?
Guru's money, somebody else's money.
Then how is that any different as a grihastha? You know what I'm saying? There's no difference. This is the thing, is men will want to think, no, it's different. It's absolutely not different. Who's the money to benefit? The school. Who's the grihastha man's money to benefit? The wife and children. You know, if he thinks he buys himself this and that, his marriage will fall apart. So it's exactly the same. It's just that one is, the gurukul can tell them that, they may or may not catch that because it doesn't matter to them because they're not attached to women. And the grihasthas, they're not about to tell them that because they're in the illusion that is different from that. They don't want to hear that. You know, the joke, what's mine is mine and what's yours is mine. That's reality. That's not a joke. It's said pleasantly, but it's reality. Because otherwise the sense of possession is much greater in the feminine nature. So that means everything has to be theirs. You know, while the man is looking at how things work, so the possession is how much it work needs to be in that thing. But if you're talking relationship, it's there. So, yes, I mean, these things can be done, but, you know, is that going to be appreciated? You know, people are going to be happy that, you know, you tell all these things and then he comes and tells his father and his father totally has a meltdown and absolute goes berserk. I mean, we had it with the mothers. You're telling the girls exactly how to deal. The mothers absolutely, you know, it's like you know, how you say, you know, nuclear meltdown. I mean, literally, they cannot function that their daughter knows more about family life than them. That their son knows more. He hasn't even been with a woman. He knows more than they've learned in 20 years, 30 years. They can't handle that. So you're going to have to wait until the society. I mean, you could run classes on Kama Sutras so that people understand all these fine points, but who can handle that? And who's going to have to run the class? It's going to have to be a celibate. Grihasthas won't be able to teach you. Not general classes. Women who know it can teach other women. There's general classes that come. The Shastra's written by celibates. It's commented on by celibates. It's not written by grihasthas, Kama Sutra. It is not. Because the grihasthas, what they like, that's what they're going to emphasize. It'll be so out of balance. Or the other one, it's just, here's the mechanics. This is what you do. Because the point is 64 what do you call it? 64 points are discussed, and only 10 of them are dealing with sensual activities. The others are how the woman deals with the money, and you know, what's this and that, and the money, woman's remarried, what's her duties, and how does she fit into the family when she moves in with others. That's what it's about. Prabhupada says it's about, you know, how to have proper children. You know, so that means the environment, everything. We think it's just, you know, the sex part. That's what it's just. No, it's the whole environment that it's in. You know? And because it's what it is, it gives a wide range from those in the mode of goodness right down to, you know, the guys that drive elephants. You know? Stuff like that. You know? So, it, you know, it covers everything. So you have to know what's useful for us and what's not. So, you know, you can get into that, but it would be one of those, if you said we're going to run a class on this, there'd be a lot of people who want to attend, and there would be this riot around the world where, you know, nothing can move forward. So you just have to wait. You need a few more generations. Yes?
Practically, I assume, Maharaj, lack of cultural consistency is what creates the confusion, even for the boys. They come, and then when they go outside, everywhere, it's like...
It's different. Yeah. Every family would be different. Everything would be
just
different.
Like philosophy, when we have to apply, you have the maturity, where there's the consistency, how it's moving otherwise.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why in the Veda it's described like this. One family, no remarries, no...
Yeah. There's also the other aspect, is that you know, you're talking about, you know, you go out, you know, maybe like, no, I don't know, and this and that, so... It's like, you know, then do you explain all this to them? Because like before in the Vedic system, the Upakarvana Brahmachari, he's graduating only to get married. There's no other reason to graduate. If you're a Naistika Brahmachari, they never graduate, literally. So Upakarvana means you'll become a Grihastha. But if you discuss, you know, what your plan, how you get, no, like that, you just have to leave it to them. You can tell them, yeah, you go out and get this, you eat yourself, no, I'm going to see the world, check out this, you know, I'm going to do this project and that, and we're going to take up this preaching and, you know, all these kind of things. And which is good if they do, but then you see after 1 year, then they're just sitting at home. You know, like that, you know, they go there and, you know, start some little thing, get something going, and then, you know, then it takes off from there. So it's just, there's this lag in between before they figuring out that, okay, I'm going to get married, and, you know, maybe I'll get married. You know, so that also makes it a little hard, because even if you explain it, like the same thing, it won't click. You know? So, and these things before, families would show, mothers would show, fathers would show, you know, and that it's just these little things, like you get somebody's mentioning that my father told me this, you know, it's just one thing. Like I remember one Mataji, Brahmin background, she said when she was leaving the house, you know, after the marriage to go to the husband's house, mother called her aside and said one thing. You know, so these things, that's not known either. So it's supposed to be between what the school teaches, what they learn at home before going, and then after, when they're there, what the parents then give and all that. That together then makes it complete. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Also, there is a specific detail that those things which the father and mother cannot say, it's like for the boy, it's maternal uncle, and for the girl, it's the maternal aunt.
Okay.
Or the maternal cousins.
Okay.
They talk these things, which can't be told by parents, but who has now?
Yeah, that's
and where is the relation, even if you have?
They don't have. Yeah, so it's just a matter of, it'll take time to develop these things, that they come out subtly and nicely and smoothly. Otherwise, you can say, and then, oh, why you're saying these things to the kids? And okay, so we don't say, why you're not saying these things? It's just like, you can't win, you know? So, yeah. But otherwise, it means they could, you know, if they have a doubt and they're here, they can go back to the school and ask somebody and they'll get answers.
Maybe they get answers they don't want to hear.
That's the other part. That's the point, is that I'm going to go out, I make this much money, I got, you know, I made $2,000, you know, like this and that, I can do this, that. No, you just hand that over to your wife. Huh? Why you should work so hard? Okay, so that's the whole point. You know, and then it's supposed to be, you know, a certain part is kept aside for emergencies. But she doesn't have to know about that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, is you can't just say, you know, no, I don't tell you about this stuff. You know, so yeah, it's very delicate. You know, so it's there. And only actual emergencies that comes out. You know, like serious stuff. Not like we need some new shoes or something, you know, like that. That's not the emergency. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what she has to, you know, she keeps aside.
That he doesn't have to know.
That he doesn't have to know about. Yeah. And so there's all these far out little things. That all that's described, you know. All that's described. But what's the forum? You know, because basically it comes down to, you know, can the Gurukul teach that? That's the beauty, basically. And especially that those who aren't married, they would know the least. So all the principle, how that's they can explain the best. Some practical application, that those who have been married, stayed married, you know, are retired, that's what vanaprasthas are for. Vanaprasthas can explain all those things because they don't have attachment. They can tell you, you do this. And if the guy goes, what? That's crazy. The vanaprastha couldn't care less. It's your life, you know. See you in 30 years, and then we can talk, you know. Yes.
If you hear from vanaprasthas, then brahmacharis appear more pleasant. Vanaprasthas.
Yeah, yeah. Because they can be really heavy. Yeah, the brahmacharis, the celibates, and that. And, you know, because it's strong, but it doesn't. It's not you know, like that.
It doesn't hit the nail.
Yeah, but the vanaprasthas can really.
They know their attachment very perfectly, what you're talking about.
Yeah. So it's just, you have these, but these are the culture. You know, like I mentioned before, I think two of the best brahmachari kind of like inspirational talks that I've heard, you know, really short, came from married Brahmin women towards a brahmachari. You know, in other words, there's brahmacharis, and then they know, the women know who will get married, who won't. So the one that they can see doesn't need to get married, when he gets distracted, then they sometimes, if there's there, they tell him stuff, and then he's good. So you have all these cultural things that they're there, but, you know. But yeah, something to consider, something to think about. So, you know, I mean, how you say? In the Indian scene, they don't have to worry about it. You just go out, you know, live in the cheapest place, you know, best is your own family place, eat the simplest food, collect huge amounts of money, get a place, that get married, and then after that, you know, it'll all be taken care of. the money manager comes along with the marriage.
All-inclusive.
All-inclusive, yes, it's an all-inclusive program. Yeah.
DNC, too many people managing your money. There's no lack of management.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's everybody.
Mother,
you had your plans. You know, your kids have another plan. Wife has another plan. And even relatives, they have their plan. You know?
The biggest complaint for Indian boys is, as soon as they graduate from college, till the time they get married, they literally will not have any money with them. Because parents already puts all the money in mutual fund without even telling you.
Mm-hmm.
So the boys should know, they should not tell the salary to their mother and father. Then they will leave you exactly how much you can just sustain with, and rest all is goes in the money.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how in your marriage, then all the big amount comes and
the
facility comes.
Yeah, because it's already put aside. Yeah, because our idea is, you know, how you say, is Nietzsche and Freud, you know,
of course,
you know, and then throw in little marks for, you know, we don't have to worry about parents or authorities or anything, and so then it's whatever I feel like I do, and so, but otherwise, as far as that, you know, parents will put everything. I mean, what do you need? How many Xboxes do you need? You know, so it's like, you know, I put the money aside because now that seems so important, but then later on, there's much more important things.
And actually, first 2-3 years of married life, then they can little be peaceful.
Yeah.
Otherwise, as soon as you get married, and now you know that you have to get the stuff, and then there is anxiety, and relationship doesn't go properly in the whole city.
Yeah, I've heard, you know, well, they've gotten married and they ask why not kids, because they're waiting till a certain amount of money's there. Because only then they can, you know, take care nicely. Yeah. Is that okay? Okay, Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.